Thank you. My name is Joseph Batunguka Luamba. And today I would like to read the Bible in the book of Matthew 11:28-30. The Bible says this: "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find a rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I would like to read also in French. The Bible says this: "Venez à moi, vous tous qui êtes fatigués et chargés, je vous donnerai du repos. Prenez mon joug sur vous et recevez mes instructions, car je suis doux et humble de cœur. Et vous trouverez du repos pour vos âmes, car mon joug est doux et mon fardeau est léger." And I would like to read also in my mother tongue, that is Lingala, spoken in the middle of Africa, especially in the capital city of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that is Kinshasa. Boya epai na ngai, bino nyonso ewozali komona pasi pe bolembi na mikumba. Ngai moto na kosalisa bino po bokoka kofanda na kimya. Pamba te, nazali moto ya motema malamu pe ya boboto. Bozala bosala to bozala bozali komona pasi na nga pamba te, verse 29. Pamba te, nazali moto ya motema malamu mpe ya boboto. Bozala basali na ngai mpe boya kozwa mayele epai na ngai. Bongo bokokoka kofanda na kimya. Verse 30. Kosalela ngai ezali pasi te, mpe mokumba na ngai ezali kilo te. Amen.
Thank you, Joseph, for that. I'm glad you read it, because it's all French to me. We were going to miss our some of our Sojourners leadership team with us in service today, as they're at a leadership retreat. So there's 20 odd of them who are not here with us this morning. That's the empty spot up front here. If you wondered why our service is a little bit different this morning in terms of just the brevity of songs at the beginning, it's because this is my last sermon and I need to preach to you for 2 hours before I let go. No, it's because we want to respond to the Lord in a slightly longer period of time at the end of service, and so we'll be worshiping the Lord a bit more at the end. I will keep to my 35 minutes that I'm usually given, and just to put you at ease in that. Let's just give the time to the Lord before we begin. Oh Lord God, we are thankful, even as we hear your word this morning, spoken and read and proclaimed, that it does not just go out to countries that understand English only, but that your word is proclaimed throughout the world in the languages in which people can receive it. And I give thanks for that, Lord God. Thank you, God, for all those who work so hard to translate these languages and to make it possible for different countries and peoples and tribes and nations to hear your word, to take it to heart. So even as we hear your word this morning, may we take to heart what you have to say through Holy Scripture. Thank you, God, that we have a chance to hear your word, to listen to it, and then to do your word as we go. Guide our hearts now. Prepare our hearts to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now that we're officially entering into the fall and kids are back to school, what does a typical week look like for some of you? Well, for some of you, it may consist of this. It may consist of dropping your children off in the morning before rushing off to work yourself, skipping lunch while trying to meet deadlines at work that should have been done weeks ago, putting in long hours day after day, picking up your kids and then taking them to their extracurricular activities afterwards, and keeping the home front in order by shopping for food, kids' clothes, toys, school supplies, and then preparing meals, cooking and cleaning, and then trying to give good quality time to your family and your children before they all go to bed at night. You continually multitask. You find it exhausting. And then you realize that September is not even over yet. Now, others of you may not live such chaotic lives, but your schedules are hectic because you're students. And students, we all know, live complicated lives. You have classes, you have papers, you're studying, you're writing exams, you have boyfriend and girlfriend issues, you have parenting and family issues, you stay up late talking, texting, messaging, gaming. You're a complicated bunch. And yet still others of you are up-and-coming professionals. There are demands for your time. You're single parents. Or you do shift work day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out. And it seems as if there's no break, there's no end in sight in your schedule. How is it that our lives have gotten so busy? Thinking that we're supposed to be active, that we're supposed to be productive every moment of every day. Thinking that we cannot even slow down to rest. Thinking that we're not allowed to rest. This is the society, this is the world in which we live in today. Wayne Muller, in his book entitled Sabbath, said this. He said, "Our culture invariably supposes that action and accomplishment are better than rest. That doing something, anything, is better than doing nothing. And so it is revolutionary when we hear the words and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he said to those who would follow after him in Matthew 11. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am humble, gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. Jesus says. Why does Jesus say, "Come to me"? Because he knows. He knows that we go to many other things when we're tired and weary in order to try and find rest. What do you do when you are weary and burdened? What are your go-tos? Who are your go-tos? Now, there's nothing wrong, okay? Nothing wrong with watching a whole season of a Netflix series. We call it binge-watching. Or eating a whole carton of ice cream in one sitting. But what or who do you go to when you're weary? When you need to be refreshed? Because a whole carton of ice cream and binge-watching a series will not refresh us. If anything, it will cause us to be more weary and more tired. Have any of you guys done that before? I know I have. at least the binge watching, not the carton of ice cream. So one of the things that Jesus is inviting us to hear is he's inviting us to Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest. Now Jesus invites us to himself. He invites those who are having a hard time. Those who are beaten up by the things of life. Those who feel overwhelmed with life altogether. The arms of Jesus are open wide for you. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, those who are fatigued and overextended. You see, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus said this, or the scripture says this. When Jesus saw the crowds, his heart went out to them because they were limping and cast down like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus' heart goes out to those who find even the very existence of life a real chore, who cannot go on. According to John Calvin, he said this. Calvin said, failure makes us fit to receive God's grace. Failure makes us fit to receive God's grace. So to those who are burdened with life and guilt and who feel totally inadequate, Jesus promises refreshment. I'll give you rest, he says. I will refresh you. I will restore you. I will replenish you. King David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. This restoration of the soul comes as we submit to the Lord as our shepherd. As we lie down, that is, as we rest from our work. And as we are still, as we are still in his presence. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verses 9 to 11, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Okay, so for some of you, you just need to sleep. No, really, you just need to go home and sleep, as Elijah needed sleep after spending himself tirelessly serving the Lord. He just needed to sleep. He ate, and then he slept, and then he ate some more, and then he slept some more. Sometimes that's all you need to do. I'll even go as far as this, okay? It's okay once in a while if you need to rest even when you're in service. Even when the speaker is preaching. Even when I'm preaching. Pastor Josh may have his own guidelines. I'll give that to you as a get out of jail free card if I catch you sleeping, okay? And we can see everything up here. But just remember to say amen afterwards. You know what I mean, right? You go into your normal habit. Amen. That's all I ask of you. Okay, seriously speaking now. In addition to Jesus' refreshment, according to Dale Bruner, Jesus gives us his equipment as well. He gives us his equipment. Here, he says, take my yoke upon you. You see, a yoke is a work instrument. It is a wooden frame that joins two oxen, two animals together, you know, around their neck, so as to be able to pull heavy loads together. Now, why would Jesus give us that? An instrument of work rather than a paid vacation. But here, Jesus realizes that the most restful gift to us is not to escape life, but a new way to carry life. A new way to bear responsibilities in our lives. You see, life is a series of burdens. But instead of giving us an escape, he gives us his equipment. His way of carrying life so that it gives us more life than the way we have been living. We all wear a yoke, but Jesus wants us to do is to take off our yoke, to take off our yoke, and to put on his yoke. What is our yoke? Well, it could be things like this. Our yoke, even as we read in Scripture, could be the practices that are placed upon us by self-righteous religious leaders in Jesus' time. Jesus himself commented to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 4. He rebuked them. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them, Jesus said. These were the yokes of those who lived in Jesus' days. Also, our yoke could be the demands or the seeming demands that are placed on us by our modern day craziness of life. And we talked about this earlier at the very beginning of the message. All the things that we think we need to do or have to do. But Jesus wants us. He wants us to take off our yoke and to put on his yoke. He wants us to learn from him and not just to learn about him. Take my yoke of teaching. That's what Jesus is referring to here. Take my yoke of teaching upon you. He's asking us to take his teaching. And up to this time, in Matthew 11, he's referring to things like the Sermon on the Mount and other teachings that he's taught the disciples at this time. Take upon you my teaching, Jesus says, and let me speak to you directly. Let me, Jesus says, be your teacher. And could it be, brothers and sisters, could it be that Jesus is saying that we need to have him as our yoke mate? We need to have Jesus as our yoke mate so that we learn to pull our load with him and not just by ourselves? His yoke is easy, and his burden is light, because he himself carries this along with us. Jesus carries this long with us. We're not alone in this. What we're called to is to walk with Jesus in the real world that we live in, and to have him teach us moment by moment how to live life his way. His way. Sabbath rest. Also, I want to share with you Sabbath reflection. The Sabbath invites us to rest and to rejoice in what we have. That's what the Sabbath is for. To help us to rest and rejoice in what we have rather than what we do not have. The Sabbath invites us to the practice, therefore, of being thankful. That's what we can do in the Sabbath, of being thankful. You know, on weekdays, we have to think about what we don't have. It's natural. On the weekdays, we have to think about what we don't have, and then we need to do them. We need to do the things that we need to do because we don't have them. But on the Sabbath, we can forget all that. We can ponder on and enjoy what God has given us. That's what we can do on the Sabbath. The Sabbath gives us time to reflect on God. Use your Sabbath to reflect on God and on yourselves. What do I really care about in life? What are my deepest longings and passions? In what areas of life do I need God the most right now? Is there anything I need to confess to God? And also to ask forgiveness from Him and from other people? Who am I anyways? What is the Lord's purpose for my life? These are all things that you can reflect on during your Sabbath, during the time alone with you and God. St. Augustine said this. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." This restlessness is a desire to know God, to have a deeper relationship with God. But how does this come about? How? Well, Augustine explains this. He says, "No one knows what he himself is made of, except his own spirit within him. Yet there is still some part of him which remains hidden even from his own spirit. But you, Lord, know everything about a human being because you have made him. Let me then confess what I know about myself and confess too what I do not know. Because what I know of myself, I know only because you shed light on me. And what I do not know, I shall remain ignorant about until my darkness becomes like bright noon before your face." So we know, in essence, we know ourselves as God reveals himself to us about him and about ourselves. Sabbath reflection. And so here, Augustine is giving us a very important model of faith to follow here. And that model of faith is one of deep, personal reflection. We need, brothers and sisters, to have deep, personal reflection. One that teaches us how to reflect and why we should reflect. Because in reflection, we find God. And in reflection, we find our rest. Through reflection, we can allow the words of Jesus to descend, the words of Jesus to descend when we reflect from our minds into our hearts. And from there, create a place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we let the words of Christ inform our thoughts and inform our actions in the situations of life in which we find ourselves. Sabbath rest, Sabbath reflection, Sabbath reliance. Scripture says in Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep still. And in Isaiah 30, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. So brothers and sisters, just as tithing reminds us that all we have is God's, so Sabbath keeping reminds us that God is in control. We need to trust in God to do things for us, even when we're not doing. Even when we're not working, we trust in God to do things for us. And so we need to let go of the doing ourselves. We're not indispensable. You're not indispensable. I'm not indispensable. We may feel that we are sometimes, but we're not. God is in control. When I was on vacation just earlier this year, I was lying in the pool. I was just floating on my back. I was just looking up at the sky. I was doing that for a good 10, 15 minutes. Now, there's an issue with that, right? My issue is I can't float naturally on my back. I don't know why. I think it's guys in general. We don't have the body parts to just float naturally when we do that. And so what I did was just to give you I put my feet up on the edge of the pool. Just my ankles, just enough to hold me up, and then I can truly float on my back. That was just a side thing, anyways. As I was doing that, I actually sensed the Lord saying something to me at that time. Because I said to the Lord as I was floating there, I said, God, just reveal whatever you want to reveal to me. I'm open. I want to listen to you. I want to hear you out. If you want to say something to me, speak, Lord. I'm listening. And I felt God saying this to me during that time. I felt God saying to me, I control everything. Even the wind and the waves obey me. Everything is my control. So do not worry. Do not fret. Everything is in my hands, says the Lord, and under my sovereign plan. Whether it be your son's future, your wife's future, your future, your church's future, just follow me. I'll lead you. And I'll show you and direct your paths. That's what I felt the Lord speaking to me. When we take a rest, when we step back and take a break and not work, we're basically trusting in God. We're trusting in God to provide for what we cannot do, what we cannot control. We allow God to take matters from us and into His hands. That's part of what the Sabbath is about. Releasing control and putting our trust and faith in God that He will do what only He can do anyways. If there's one thing that I would like to do going forward in terms of changing something in my life, I would say it's the more regular observance of a Sabbath. The more regular observance of a Sabbath. A day of rest. A day to cease from working. A day to trust my Lord. A day to experience God's grace in a new way. I would say I've gotten myself into a bit of a bad habit of trying to get a jump on things by not taking a full day each week to rest over the past couple of years. And so I'm trying to learn that all over again. What it means to be loved by God. To be loved by God. Apart from what I do. To rekindle and to reclaim my first love to Him, for Him. As you know, I love our church. I love Fraserlands Church. I would do anything and have done anything. But I sense God saying to me, there could be and there would be danger in misplacing my first love, in misplacing our first love from the Lord to the church, from intimacy with Jesus to intimacy with ministry. We can get that confused sometimes. I can get that confused sometimes. Deb has noticed that I've been rushing around too much lately. Rushing her, rushing to get things done, rushing to order once I sit down at a restaurant. I mean, if you go to the same restaurant all the time, you know what you want already, right? And so I need to slow down. I need to take time to notice once again the beauty of God's creation. To notice the wonders of His marvelous works. To notice and behold the face of my God, my first love. You see, Jesus often withdrew from the crowds. And He went to lonely places to rest, to pray, to enjoy His relationship with the Father. And so He invites us, Jesus invites us, He invites us to come to Him and to join Him in this Father-Son intimacy of relationship. He calls this His easy yoke. So my upcoming sabbatical, I plan to do this. I plan to restore this intimacy with the Lord. You know what I mean. When you first came to Christ, you had that same intimacy too. And so I plan to restore my intimacy with the Lord. Over and above all things, including my love for this church. Sabbath rest, Sabbath reflection, Sabbath reliance, and then lastly, Sabbath recommitment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. I know I didn't get a chance to explain what that looks like and everything, but I think you all know, our Sabbaths could differ. My Sabbath is usually on a Sunday night to Monday night kind of thing, and yours could be different depending on what your schedule calls for. But nonetheless, a Sabbath recommitment to the Lord. Do you come to church today with this need to rest? Because life has thrown a curveball at you. Because you're tired. You're weary of the cares and the concerns of life. Because your marriage is not going the way that you had hoped. Because you didn't expect parenting would be so consuming. Because you're stuck in a rut and you just can't see the way out of the situation. It could be because you're just wondering if God really is in control of things in your life. Or even in this world for that matter. You're seeking a resolution in your heart to a big question for which you have no answer. And for which you even doubt if God has an answer. What you need is rest. As this passage of scripture that we're looking at in Matthew 11, as we read it, as we looked at it, Jesus extends. He extends the same invitation to rest for each and every one of us here today. Come to me, Jesus says. Those of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, it's easy. Actually, if I can have the worship team come up at this time. It's easy to find comfort in things other than in Jesus. Things like television, alcohol, escape vacations, pornography, the internet, gambling, addictions, or a whole host of other things that dull us to the pain and sorrows of life. It's easy to find comfort in those things. We can get sucked into these things. During our weekly Sabbath, we need to rest. We need to take a break to have, yes, a work fast, a worry fast, but to maybe consider having a technology fast, or a social media fast, or an email fast, or whatever we do that can take pleasure away from us, from the Lord, from taking pleasure in the Lord. Things that take away from us our delight of the Lord as our Creator. our delight in the Lord as the lover of our soul. We need to fast from those things. The things we use to dull our pains of life actually end up doing the opposite. They give us fleeting pleasure, yes, but it leaves us empty. It leaves us empty in the end. But Jesus, on the other hand, says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus offers us true life, a life lived to the fullest that brings real joy and real peace and real satisfaction. Because love is better than hate. Because purity is better than lust. Because reconciliation is better than retaliation. God created and he ordained a Sabbath day of rest in order for us to draw near to him, in order for us to rest in his holy presence. The Lord God himself said in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Give you a moment just to reflect on what you heard. Ask the Lord to seal the things that you heard today that you know is from him. Just take a moment to do that, will you? Just ask the Lord, seal the things that you heard today that you know is from the Lord before we move into our songs of response.